I want to thank you for checking out another podcast of Ferocious Talk, where we ain't scared. My name is A1, and last week's podcast was really good. We talked about, should Black-owned businesses charge non-Black customers a reparations tax? A lot of interesting perspectives about it. Feel really good. Felt like the position I was, or the argument I was making, was a new approach to that particular topic of reparations and how Black people can get something. So if you haven't heard it, get on over to podomatic.com under Society and Culture. You can also find me at iTunes under the category Personal Journals. And get on over to weaintscared.com. Want to make sure that you're aware, weaintscared.com, portion of the proceeds goes to charity, in particular Flint. We have shirts, hats, bands, and we have some other things we're working on for that as well. Also, weaintscaredrecords.com, We Ain't Scared Records. This was something that happened as a result of the tour. We came across so many talented people that it seemed like a natural progression that we would tap into some of the talent and continue to give them an opportunity to shine and put them in a position where we would do our best to elevate their exposure. And so we're excited. We feel like, look, if you work hard to give back, then we will do our best to work hard to try to put as much additional revenue in your pocket as possible. So get on over to weaintscaredrecords.com. Shout out to our first single, Game Boy, Young Ruthless, Family Over Everything, Lil Twin, Jusang. Get it on over to iTunes. You can pull it up under Young Ruthless. You can also search Game Boy, but check that out. The single is doing really well. It's been out about 2 weeks. So we're on Spotify, we're on Apple Music, iTunes, and about 25 other streaming sites, Napster, and more. So look forward to September the 26th, where we drop two more singles. Those singles are Truth by Golden Boy out of Houston, and then Smoke and Ride by Nels 51 Deuces out of Austin. So we're going up and down Texas, from Dallas-Fort Worth all the way down to Austin through to Houston. So, and shout out to Houston after that Hurricane Harvey situation. We're praying for you guys. Keep your head up. All right. And Black Lives Matter. Please keep doing what you're doing. We need you. Please keep doing what you are doing. Only thing we ever say, Black Life Matters. That's it. If you can't get behind it, you are part of the problem. The Bradford Review. Thanks, Leighton. Appreciate you, bro. And then Flint, Ferocious for Flint. Okay, that tour we'll pick back up in 2018. Thank you for letting me get all that out of the way. I know it's a lot, but it's important. So let's go ahead and jump into today's topic. And it is why I'm not disowning any Black man for any reason. Why I'm not disowning any Black man for any reason. Now, this is, I'm going to kind of take my time with this. I usually do, but I took some just sparse notes. And this really happened as a result of a Facebook exchange that I've been having with different people really over the last week or so. Just about the various celebrities. All right, because we talk about celebrity a lot and where they find themselves in terms of being out of favor, right? I think there was a line in Batman that said, you either die a hero or live long enough to become the villain, which is a very interesting quote and very, very true. And that is, it doesn't matter how well-intentioned you may be, eventually, the very same people that love you will become the very same people that hate you. And so it kind of trickled into, well, who are the most hated people in the world? Black people, but in particular, Black men. So because this show focuses on a black male perspective on things, that's going to be the crux of my conversation on this particular podcast. It's strictly from one black man about other black men and how I feel. Now, one, as a black man, and knowing that we were the originators of the planet, we seeded the entire world, it's an honor. Let me say that. You know, when you get educated and you find out the cradle of civilization and Africa and Adam and how it was Africans, right, that did populate the world, you feel honored to be a black man. We are the first warriors. We're the protectors. And just to kind of fast forward to modern day, there are attacks that happen to certain black men. So when they become super, super successful, there's this adulation and applause and people in, you know, circle and they're like, yeah, this is great and we love you. And we're talking literally the black world and then the white world, okay, because we will be talking, I'm very direct, okay? The white world embraces black culture but doesn't want to give it any respect based on the appropriation, right, of hairstyles and physical attributes and fashion and the speech, you know, with slang. And so the appropriation is the ultimate slap in the face when you are putting us down for doing the very thing that you turn around and do yourself. So I'm going to do my best to kind of pull all this together, but understand, I'll start here. After 400 years of oppression, beatdowns, lynchings, murders, castrations, being set on fire, falsely accused by people, and then attacked, tortured, thrown in jail, 14 years old, and executed, electrocuted, drugged behind trucks, burned again, shot, arms, limbs, mutilation. The list goes on and on about the atrocities that America has perpetrated on black men. But at the same time, not understanding that when you oppress black men or a people and you are not oppressed, you get that much further ahead. So where I'm going with this is, why would I disown or disassociate myself from a group of black people, black men, that have been set up for failure from the very beginning? Now, I'll bring up OJ as an example because he's one of the more recent public figures that some people would say, okay, self-hate. He only dated white women, all right? And that was it. And so, look, who knows, right? I'm not going to tell you who your heart should love or who it shouldn't love, but I'm still not going to disown that black man. I'm not going to do it. I don't care how many white people are upset at the verdict and he was found innocent. Doesn't matter. You ain't black, okay? And chances are you didn't like him anyway because he was dating white women. And the other side to it is, when everything is said and done, when the rubber meets the road, black men have to embrace other black men because don't nobody else want to. You know, let's keep it real. We don't have the luxury of shutting out ourselves because it's not like other groups are running to include us in anything. And I mean that. I don't care if it's Jewish, Latino, Asian, Irish. It doesn't matter. They're not running to include us in anything, but they are running for us to include them in things. And I know that's a whole nother podcast, but the reality is we cannot afford to be disassociating, disowning, and leaving us, certain of us, outside, right? Now we're contributing to the oppression ourselves. It's, look, I don't know anybody on the planet that I agree with 100%. Even out of all the black men that I know, I may agree with maybe 60% of what they believe. And I don't care how old you are or how young you are. Now, that other 40%, I don't let that disagreement with that stop me from being your friend, right? If being friends, it was predicated upon us having a 100% agreement on every single topic, no matter what it is, I'd only have one friend, and that's me. I'll be my own best friend. We're not supposed to have 100% agreement. We're supposed to learn from our differences. That's the whole point. That's how you grow. That's how you learn from our differences, not what we have in common. If we all look the same and act the same, there's nothing to know. You already know it. So where's the challenge in growth? And even when I do, and a lot of it, and I've said this before, it's about understanding where someone's coming from. I think we get caught up, we lie to ourselves and we say, well, I just want to have a conversation with you about it. And I just want to tell you, you go into it with the wrong motives because you really want to try to convince that person that your position is correct and theirs is incorrect. When the reality is you need or should go into the conversation with trying to get an understanding. And just because you understand and you say, I understand, it doesn't mean you have to agree. Understanding does not have to equate to agreement. And you don't have to feel or fight the fact that, yeah, I get where you're coming from. I don't agree with it, but I understand where you're coming from. There's nothing wrong with that. And if more, in this case, black men in particular, exercise that, I understand where you're coming from. I don't necessarily agree, but I understand, that little bit of validation, right? That validation can carry that person forward. Everybody needs to be validated. And it doesn't make you a punk, right? It doesn't. And black men have to hear other black men say, it's okay to be validated and I will validate you. It doesn't have to be, I'm right and you're wrong. You know, so many of us get caught up in, I'm right and you're wrong and here's why, and we argue and we talk and, you know, and it becomes this impassioned, well, after 3 hours of us being so impassioned, if the other person say, okay, I see it your way. If we don't say that, then you feel like it's a waste and then you don't want anything to do with us. Or we don't want anything to do with ourselves. And it can't be that way, right? We can have a difference of opinion. We can disagree without being disagreeable. And again, I absolutely refuse to disown any black man for any reason. I don't care what it is. People say, what if you murdered somebody? Well, what if they did this? And what if I don't care. You know, and you're going to be trying to think of the most heinous, horrific crime that someone could do. You know, I always want to go to that. Well, what about this? And what about, no, it doesn't matter. Because the truth of it is, something obviously happened to that person that caused them to believe that what they did or what they said was okay. And so I'm more concerned about what happened. And the only way I'm going to get to find out is if I talk to you and I embrace you, right? I'm not going to throw you out like a leper, right? And one of the great segues on that is, you know, R. Kelly. Great segue. People talk about, well, you know, Aaliyah, he married her at 16 and he did this and R. Kelly that, and he's, you know, raping or molesting young. Look, first of all, let me tell you something. I don't know that man. And people say, well, you don't have to know. Look, let me tell you something. I don't know what really happened and what went on. Now, I do know this. Hugh Hefner, okay, Mr. Playboy, has been for over 50 years celebrated as the quintessential ladies' man. And if you think for a moment that all the girls that went up to Playboy as centerfolds and said that they were 18 years old, if you believe that all of them were 18 at the time that they told him that, and they weren't 17 or they weren't 16 and a half, I got some swamp land to sell you in Las Vegas. Believe me when I tell you, that man has had intimate encounters with women that were teenagers, under 18. It has happened. And nobody says a thing. He's looked at as a national treasure. Now, some people may say, well, he didn't pee. You don't know what that man did. He may have peed on him and done worse. You don't know, but because it's R. Kelly, right? To me, he's a black man, and black men are always easy targets. How many countless times have we heard of white men and women that blame phantom or non-existent black people for crimes because they don't want to deal with being responsible for what they did? Oh, no, black man came, broke into my house, he raped me. Oh, no, it was a black man, and he held me at gunpoint, and he took, and in the end, it comes out it was them. No, a black man took my van and he abducted my kids. And black men are always the scapegoat. We're always the scapegoat when white people get scared and they want to try to throw off or avoid any accountability in certain areas. Yeah, I said that. It's true. All you got to do is just pull up the internet. This is a fact. And again, I'm not coming in here making this up. I'm just reporting on it. So if you got a problem with anything I'm saying, you got a problem with the world. You don't got a problem with me because I'm just repeating what other people have done to black men. Understand? Now, R. Kelly, just to kind of, you know, round that out, no, great guy. And as far as talent, right? Talented, smart. I don't know the man personally, but I do know this. He's a survivor. And I do know this, he'd get invited to my house. OJ would get invited to my house. Why not? So white people can oppress black people and then black people are going to oppress other black people too? That doesn't make any sense. It makes no sense. Then to me, that's the self-hate. And you know, when we start judging, because guess what? If we were to look deep into your closet, deep into your skeletons, deep into your past or present and find out the things that you didn't want anybody to know. Trust me when I tell you, you wouldn't be as high and mighty and quick to dismiss somebody because everybody's got something they don't want somebody to know. Everybody. And people say, well, no, they're bad. No, we're all bad, right? People say, well, I'm good. No, none of us are good. None of us are good. We're all bad. And then we work every day to become less bad, which we all fail at miserably. We fail at it. And that's okay because we're human. We're not perfect. So again, this is more justification about why I'm not disowning any black man for any reason. I don't care. Well, he's a woman beater. Okay, well, let's find out what happened, right? Because everybody understands that an abuser most probably was abused, right? I mean, we've all heard it. You grow up and say, you sound just like your father or you sound just like your mother. Well, you're going to emulate what you grew up with because that's familiar. Black men are no different. When we don't have role models of a degree like a father figure, we got to make it up, right? So our mom is not there. We don't know how to treat a woman. So we have to learn. But the heart of this goes to 400 years that black men have been insulted, humiliated, beaten, battered, broken, thrown in prison, murdered, killed, lynched, hated every day for no other reason than being black. So what sense does it make that as a black man, I'm going to hate another black man because they appear to be making the same mistakes as a white man that never gets crucified, that never is held accountable, that is never, ever told you're effing up? Why would I do that to another black man? And then that same white man's going to go out and continue doing the exact same thing, Donald Trump, and worse. And nobody say a thing. Nobody bat an eye. Nobody give a damn. No. for the next 400 years, if I live that long, the black men that I encounter, you will always get a pass. Always. I will not disown you, no matter what. No matter what. All right, well, I want to thank you for checking out another podcast of Ferocious Talk. You got some good food for thought. My name is A1, and we ain't scared.